I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here as we continue with our worship to our Heavenly Father. And I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our visitors and invite you back at every opportunity that you have. In Dean Cruz's absence, I will be presenting a lesson this morning on guidelines for holy living. And the text I am going to use is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And thank you again, Ted, for reading verses 12 through 17. We're going to look at setting our minds, setting your mind on things above. You have died and your life is hidden. Hidden in Christ. Put to death your old practices and all are one in Christ. And clothe yourselves with Christian virtues, which is pretty important. And let your conversation and worship be full of Christ's words. We have to remember that. And finally, do everything in the name of Jesus. Well, let's set your mind on things above. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, which is where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. This begins in our Christian walk of life with our attitude of our heart and mind. Part of discipleship is deciding where our minds will go and where they won't. We must make this conscious decision, perhaps several times a day, as temptations come upon us. Come up. So we have to diligently keep our minds on walking with God. We see an example of this. Jesus rebuked Peter in Mark chapter 8 and verse 33. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. We as Christians should always be focusing on putting our mind on God's will, not our own. Paul shares with saints at Philippi in chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equally with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is the attitude we as Christians should have in our lives. Put God's will first. Do his will, and humbly conduct your life in a way that is pleasing to God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, Paul says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Those are powerful words. We shouldn't be looking for our own interests. We should set our minds not on those of the flesh, not on earthly things, not on things that are going to satisfy here, us here on earth, but things of the Spirit. The Spirit is what we're looking for in our lives. Prioritize your life to put God first. You have died and your life is hidden. Believers are in Christ. They share in Christ's death, resurrection, new life, and his fullness. Your old life is dead, and your new life is now found only in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, "You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." So we as Christians should always be looking to put God first in our lives. Our past, we became Christians and we buried our old life in the watery grave of baptism. And now we have a new life that is in Christ Jesus. And we should follow Christ's lead. Good way to do that is to read about his life in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how Jesus conducted himself here on this earth. See how we should use him as an example in our lives so that we can also glorify God. There are spiritual changes that take place in us when we repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ in our lives. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." We live in Christ now. And it doesn't come by osmosis of learning God's word. It comes to us by diligently studying God's word, diligently applying God's word to our lives. Put it in action so that we can be approved of God. Just as Jesus, who died for you and I, he gave himself up. He loved us so much that he did. God the Father loved us that he gave his only Son to die for us for our sins. Now it's your turn, my turn, to follow in the steps of Jesus so that we can be approved of God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which Also, we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We dwell here on earth. We live here and we're seeking to go to heaven, each and every one of us. And to the best of our ability, we should be putting God first in our lives at all times. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is." Our citizenship is in heaven, and when we become a child of God, we are his children. We receive the benefits, the blessings that he bestowed upon Abraham. We, as God's children, receive that inheritance. That inheritance is eternal life. We go on to read further in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly bodies as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Stay away from sin. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them." We are all sinners before we came to God. And through the baptism, God had gave us the privilege of repenting and removing those sins away from us. In verse 8, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on a new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." And how do we gain that knowledge? Through his word. Again, studying, meditating on that, praying for wisdom to apply those things to our lives, and also put it into action. Display your Christian walk of life to others in the world. As Christians, we identify with Christ, not with our old life. We put to death our earthly nature, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Put them aside again, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth, and do not lie to one another. These sins belong to your former life, not your new life. So put them away. Don't allow Satan to pull you back into the world, but rather transcend from that evil and walk with God. Lay aside the old self with evil practices. This change is not just external, but internal, in our spirit and in our character. Be renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It's up to us to put on Christ and be like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We as Christians should be walking in the light, sharing God's message, the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus with our neighbors, friends, and those we meet, our families. We have a responsibility as Christians to represent Jesus in our lives to others and put to death your old practices. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, how do we find out what God's will is? He communicates to you and I through his word. And by reading the Bible, we gain a knowledge of him. We grow in his word. We will always be students of the Bible and learning till the day we die, till the day we meet Jesus. And it's up to you and I to constantly work on that in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Again, how do we do that? The process of renewal is God's work in us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. The renewal involves our minds as we take hold and internalize God's truths through the knowledge of his word. But the goal is far beyond ourselves. It is to restore God's image in us that has been marred and damaged through sin. Sin separates us from God. And if we allow that separation to exist in living in sin, we'll be lost eternally. All are one in Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 11. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Greeks worship many gods. We read about that not only in Acts, but we read that about that in history, about they worship many gods. The Jews worship one God. Now they are all one in Christ, and we worship God the Father through Christ Jesus. Christians are no longer divided by race, religion, geographical origin, social status, or gender. We are all one. We should break down those barriers of prejudices and focus on worshiping the true and living God by our presence here, together, collectively worshiping God, and also the way we conduct our lives in the world, the way we deal with worldly people, the way we present ourselves to others by representing Jesus in our lives. Clothe yourselves with Christian virtues. We read again in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. God has given us the privilege to approach him through Christ Jesus. And we are blessed as Christians, as a Christian family, as brothers and sisters, to worship God in a way that he expects us to worship him. And by adorning all these virtues in our lives, and we have to work on them. I know I have to work on a lot of them. Patience is one in my case. We have to work on all these virtues and sharpen our skills so that we can be approved of God. We are God's people. We are to clothe ourselves with the character of Christ. Christian virtues bring honor to our Savior. And when you look at Jesus's life, what he had done in this world, you could see that these Christian virtues should be displayed in our lives. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Put on love, the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And also be thankful that we have this blessing. And it's up to you and I to apply these things to our lives and grow in them, so that we may be approved of God. And let your conversation and worship be full of Christ's word. And in verse 16, we read, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That is powerful. And we could read that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. We have instructions on how we're supposed to worship, how we're supposed to present ourselves collectively to God. We go on to see further in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all these be done for edification. That's why we come together in worship. We edify each other. We build each other up. We strengthen each other. We admonish one another. We want to make sure that each and every one of us removes that sin from our lives. And Paul again says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. Psalms written to be sung and were sung by the Jews in Paul's day. And these also could have been Christian odes, patterned on the book of Psalms. We see that hymns, group members were encouraged each to bring a hymn or some other collection from the Spirit when the believers gathered in order to build one another up. These may have been longer compositions. And spiritual songs may have been more spontaneous, perhaps like Paul singing in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 15. Though the lines between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are not firmly drawn, but yet they encourage each and every one of us. And if you're missing, you're missing out on that teaching, that admonishing, that sharing the love we have for the brethren. There's 3 points I made about the word of Christ. First, Christians must make room within his heart. The Christian must make room within his heart for the word of God, the word of Christ. He must let the word of Christ enter his heart and make a home within his heart. He must let the word of Christ dwell and abide in his heart. So we have a responsibility to make sure we immerse ourselves in God's word so that we could glean from it the word of Christ and represent our Savior to others as we dwell here on earth. Christians are to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. We're not doing the teaching and admonishing to hurt someone. We are doing that so that their souls will not be lost. That's why we do that. And it's important that we listen, we understand, and we accept that as Christians. We are being encouraged by our brethren. And Christians are teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And just think, if you're not here, you can't be involved in that. And it's sad because you're missing out in your life. And we as Christians don't want to see anybody lost. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Again, our attitude should be just like Jesus' attitude when he dwelt here on earth. How he conducted himself. How he conducted himself among the people. He hung out with those who were sinners. He hung out with those who needed spiritual guidance. He was teaching all people. Even the consultations he had with Pharisees and Sadducees, he was teaching them. But their hearts were hardened. Christians should speak and act in full consciousness of Lord Jesus Christ. To live, move, and have our being in the name of Christ. When we put on Christ, we take that on. To trust and depend upon the name of Christ in all that we do. To claim the name of Christ in all that we say and do. To represent Christ in all that we say and do in our lives. If we were planning to do or say, can't stand the test of Jesus' presence and approval without our being ashamed, then it isn't appropriate. Always ask yourself that question. Would Jesus do this? And you will find out through your studies of his life, things that he did. And you will stay away from those things. The Christian's response is that of thanksgiving. God the Father has become the believer's fathering by Christ and only by Christ. Therefore, the Christian is constantly thanking God the Father through Jesus. We should always be thankful for everything God gives us. Even the very air we breathe comes from God. And we should be very thankful for what he has. We don't do things on our own merit. We may think we do. But God gives us that strength. And he gives us that gift in our lives. So as we bring this lesson to a close, let's remember what we read in Colossians, the third chapter. Set your mind on things above. You have died and your life is hidden in Christ right now. Put to death your old practices. Put to death sin. And all are one in Christ. We are all equal, and we should remember that. We should remove those prejudices from our lives. An example would be what we read this morning in our class concerning those Jewish believers. And it took God, through Peter's actions, to make them realize that those barriers have been broken in Christ. Clothe yourselves with Christian virtues. We as Christians should put those virtues in our lives. Display them to others. Work on getting better at presenting ourselves to others. And let your conversation and worship be full of Christ's words. Make sure your speech doesn't hurt anyone. That's why when James was talking about the tongue, it's a little member of your body, but yet it could do a lot of damage. Be cautious when you open up your mouth. And make sure that when you speak, you're speaking Christ's words. And finally, do everything in the name of Jesus. We are so blessed and fortunate as children of God to put on Christ, and we should follow his lead. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you want to be part of God's family, we invite you to come up and profess Jesus Christ as God's Son. Make that confession. And repent from your sins, and you will have the opportunity of being baptized into his body. And when you come out of the watery grave of baptism, you will be a new creature in Christ, and you will be growing in Christ, in his word, and your Christian walk of life. And if you're an erring child of God, and you're not following Jesus, and you want to get back to that relationship, we encourage you to come forward and confess your sins. And let us help you in any way.